how these two Yaomen they met under the leaves of a tree, to see what business they mean even at the same time. "Good morrow, good fellow," said Sir Guy. "Good morrow, good fellow," said Robin. "I think that by that bow and you bear in your hand, you seem to be a good archer. I think that by that bow you bear in your hand, you seem to be a good archer." "I am uncertain of my way," said Sir Guy, "and of my morning time." "I'll lead you through the wood," said Robin. "Good fellow, I'll be your guide." "I seek an outlaw," said Sir Guy. "Men call him Robin Hood. I need to find him so that I can receive my payment." If you two met, it would be seen who was better. But before you do go, let's find some other pastime, good fellow, I pray. Let us prove our archery skills, and we will walk in the woods even. We may by chance meet Robin Hood at some unexpected occasion." They cut down some bushes which grew both under a briar and set them 315 yards apart to shoot the pricks full near. "Lead on, good fellow," said Sir Guy. "Lead on, I do bid you." "Aye, by my faith," said Robin Hood, "I shall go first." The first good shot that Robin led did not shoot an inch near the center of the target. Guy was a good enough archer, but he could not shoot near that shot. Next, Sir Guy shot. He shot within the garland, but Robin Hood shot it better than him, for he clove the good prick wand. "God's blessing on your heart," said Guy. "Good fellow, your shooting is good, for if your heart be as good as your hand, you'd be better than Robin Hood." "Tell me your name, good fellow," said Guy, "under the leaves of this tree." "I will, by my faith," said Robin, "until you have told me yours." "I dwell by dale and down," said Guy, "and I have done many a curse deed. And he that calls me by my right name calls me Guy of Good Gisborne." "My dwelling is in the wood," said Robin, "as I stand in front of you now. My name is Robin Hood of Barnsdale, the fellow you have long sought." He that had never been friend or relatives might have seen a full fair sight to see how together these yeomen went with blades both stained with blood. To have seen how these men fought together 2 hours of a summer's day, it was neither Guy nor Robin Hood that prepared to fly away. Robin did not notice a root beneath him and stumbled on it, and Guy was quick and nimble and hit him on the left side. "Ah, dear lady," said Robin Hood, "you are both mother and maiden. It was never man's destiny to die before his day." Robin thought on our dear lady and soon leapt up again, and thus came an awkward backhanded stroke, and good Sir Guy was slain. He took Sir Guy's head by the hair and stuck it on the end of his bow. "You have been a traitor all your life, and that must have an end." Robin pulled forth an Irish knife and nicked Sir Guy in the face so that no one can tell who Sir Guy was. He said, lie there, good Sir Guy, and do not be angry with me. If you have had the worst strokes at my hand, you shall have the better clothes." Robin took off his green gown and threw it over Guy's body. He put on Guy's horseskin that clad him top to toe. "The bow, the arrows, and the little horn, and with me I'll now bear. For now I will go to Barnsdale to see how my men are doing." Robin put Guy's horn to his mouth and let out a loud blow that the sheriff of Nottingham heard as he stood under a hill. "I heard yonder Sir Guy's horn, it blew so well in time. for yonder come that sturdy yeoman, clad in his horse-skin. Come here, you good Sir Guy, ask of me what you will have. I'll have none of your gold, says Robin Hood. No, I'll have none of it. But now I have slain the master, he said. Let me go strike the servant. This is all the reward I ask, nor no other will I have. You are a madman, said the sheriff. You should have had a knight's fee, but seeing that you're so adamant on striking the servant, it shall be granted. But Little John heard his master speak. He knew well that was his voice. Now I shall be set loose, said Little John, with Christ's might in heaven. Robin quickly went to Little John. He thought he would cut him loose at once. But the sheriff and all his company soon came upon the scene. Stand back, said Robin. Why draw me so near? It was never the use in our country one's confession another should hear. But Robin pulled forth an Irish knife and cut John loose from the tree and gave him Sir Guy's bow in his hand and told him to use it. John took Guy's bow in his hand. His arrows were rusty with blood at their tips. The sheriff saw Little John draw a bow and prepared him to shoot. Towards his house in Nottingham, he fled full fast away, and did so with all his company, and no one stayed behind. But the sheriff could not get away fast enough, for Little John, with an arrow broad, did shoot his heart in two.